Ever tried reading while jogging, cooking, or even juggling flaming torches? Yeah, doesn't end well. But with audiobooks.com, you can conquer books without the circus act. Dive into over 450,000 titles, including more than 10,000 free ones. Get hooked on a bestseller, find your next obsession, or finally read that classic you've been avoiding since high school. And here's the inside scoop. Sign up today for a free 30-day trial and snag your first three audiobooks on the house. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcastfree today. That's audiobooks.com/podcastfree.
You're listening to the most captivating podcast in iTunes. That's right, the Elite Man Podcast, where we turn average men into elite men every day. We interview the very best experts from the lifestyle, health, fitness, social, and even entrepreneurial worlds. And with their help, we give you some of the best advice on the planet. Subscribe now if you haven't already and enjoy the show. And oh yeah, if you really enjoy it, leave us a review. On today's episode, episode number 234, entitled, How to Create a Powerful Mindset for Success and Perform at an Elite Level Every Day, I chat with Ben Newman. Ben Newman is a performance coach and keynote speaker, and in today's episode, Ben talks about how to create a powerful, success-centered mindset and focus on creating a life of greatness. He shares the key lessons he's learned over the years working with some of the most elite athletes and high-achieving individuals in the world, and what he does on a day-to-day basis when coaching these top performers. Ben breaks down daily routines, habits, mindset, focus, and optimizing your performance each and every day no matter what you're seeking to achieve. If you're wondering how to take your life to the next level by upping your mindset and peak performance, check this episode out now. You are going to love it. If you want to get more content, more information, and extra bonuses I don't post anywhere else, make sure you follow me on Instagram right now. It's at Justin Stenstrom. That's JustinStenstrom. I'm posting pretty much every day throughout the week, most days out of the week for sure, but almost every day. And it's all kinds of information regarding health, wealth, business, life, dating, relationships, confidence, and so much more. I'm telling you, you're going to love seeing some of the stories I post about and the feed posts I post all the time. It's pretty interesting. It's pretty fun. I'm loving Instagram right now, so make sure you follow me, Instagram.com/Justin Stenstrom, or just jump on your phone right now, pull up the Instagram app, and it's at Justin Stenstrom. All right, guys, we're live. It's Justin Stenstrom from EliteManMagazine.com, and my guest today is Ben Newman, performance coach and keynote speaker. Ben, thanks so much for coming on the show, man.
Justin, thanks so much for having me, and great to be with you and all your listeners.
Yeah, I'm really excited, man. I'm really excited to pick your brain today, and I'm excited to kind of on a personal note, because you've actually worked with some players that I'm really fond of, former and current, actually, Patriots players. We can't name specific guys, but you've worked with a number of players and some Patriots players, and also some other guys like Carson Wentz, who we can talk about because I know you have permission to talk about him, and I want to dive into some of the things that you've done with him. But first, what exactly does a performance coach do, if you don't mind me asking?
Well, you know, a performance coach really works with an individual to target the daily behaviors that will drive their next level performance. I mean, that would be my definition, right? I mean, I think if you ask every coach, it's going to be different. And, you know, for me, it's been the blessing of having the chance to do this in the corporate world as well as in the world of sports. But that's really what it comes down to. It's somebody staying connected to their purpose, staying connected to that burn that lies inside of them, and then identifying those daily habits, daily drivers, daily disciplines that allow them to reach their highest level of performance.
So how did you get into this line of work, Ben? Is it something that you knew you always wanted to do when you were younger, or did you just kind of stumble upon it over the years?
No, shoot. I was in college running a branch of a mortgage company, and fresh out of college, I was brokering paper just like you see in the TV show The Office. And then I was a financial advisor, and as a financial advisor, and I want to give you guys the real answer. It's not to impress anybody. It's, you know, I got off to a real fast start, set some records as far as sales go, and I had an office say, man, like, it would be great for you to come and speak. I'm a 26-year-old kid. They're like, we'll pay you $500. And I'm like, this is the thing? Like, you can go do this, you know? And so I went to Chicago. I live in St. Louis, and And I just fell in love with the opportunity to speak, to empower people to, you know, overcome adversity, overcome our challenges, get up, because I've been through them too. We all go through them, but how we respond is the difference. And the next thing you knew, I was speaking a lot. I was writing a lot. I was hiring a team. And, you know, I joke, you know, it's here we are 13 years later, the true overnight story, and, you know, still fighting to be the best I can be every day, and fighting to serve others every day.
So, Ben, how did you make that connection from being a financial advisor, someone who was able to get a ton of money and just make boatloads of money to help other people learn that skill? How did you make that transition into then doing some of this performance coaching stuff to, you know, other businesses, sports, regular people, and of course the whole mindset perspective part of that?
Yeah, and mindset I believe so much in. I mean, it's one of the reasons why one of the books that I've written is called Your Mental Toughness Playbook, and it's the 6 mental training tools that we use in our coaching. And as a gift for having me on the show, if you provide for everybody the link freeplaybook.net, everybody can get a free copy. So I'm not selling it to you guys. It's probably one of my problems. I need to do a better job of selling these books. I give them away for free. And so I definitely believe in that part of it. But really what it comes down to and what ended up happening for me is I started interviewing people that were performing at a high level when I started as a financial advisor in 2004. Just like we all have the opportunity to do, you know, wherever you are, whatever your career is, go interview and find out what do the highest performers do. And I recognized the work habits and the disciplines and how they believed in themselves. And I had been through so much adversity in my life. I was like, man, you got to come at me with some serious heat if you think you're going to shake me or break me. And so you utilize those things from having a strong mindset. You study what high performers do. And then it was a choice to drive that action every day. And it was a blessing that it worked out. And now those are the same principles that I share in business and in sports. Is helping people drive accountability to themselves to do the things that you've probably already done during periods of time in your life to drive success. And now it's just empowering somebody, getting them motivated, getting them inspired to say, I want to consistently show up and do those things more often.
Ben, did you always have this perspective with your mindset anyways of getting shit done, of taking accountability, of owning the actions and things that you do every day? Or was this something that you developed along the way? I know you talked before, actually, we jumped on the call, that your mother had a big influence in this type of perspective. Is that something she instilled in you early on?
Yeah, she did. And, you know, I'll share my story, and I'll warn you guys, I'm an emotional dude. I mean, I cried, I think, 18 times watching the ESPYs the other night. So I'm an emotional dude. And so my mom actually passed 11 days before my 8th birthday. And my mom was divorced from my father when I was 6 months old, never knew my parents together. And in 1983, she was diagnosed with a rare muscle disease called amyloidosis. You being in Boston, it's a city that's very close to my heart. My mom actually received her treatment in Boston. There were only 2 hospitals in the United States treating it. So at the Boston Medical Center, there's actually still a research center that I donated. It's going to take a while to pay it off, but it's in honor of my mom. And so I've spoken at that hospital, and my mom taught me how to fight. She taught me how to live. She taught me what it means to have passion. And my mom used to come to the dinner table with an IV stand when we had 24-hour nursing care in our house to ask me how my day was at school. And it made me realize that how we choose to show up in the good times and the bad, it's 100% our choice. And she showed up and realized that her greatest goal was that she would continue to lead my brother and I no matter what pain she experienced. And so for me, that's what taught me how to fight. And, you know, that's my story. And I appreciate everybody hearing that. It might not be what people expected to hear from me, but the reality is we all have a story. Justin, you could share your pain. You know, you could share your perspective, what you think about when you go through tough times. We all have a story. And for everybody listening, you know, choose to shift your perspective, because oftentimes when we get knocked down, we pretend like we're building the skyscraper in our imagination why we can't do something. I promise you, you've been through worse. Shift your perspective, stay positive, and keep moving.
Yeah, man, I love that. And I think you just grew so much from that experience and learned so much at, you know, such a young age too, 8 years old, man, that's got to be incredibly tough for any child. And I can only imagine how tough that was for you. But like you said, you learned and grew from that. And now you apply that to your day-to-day life and your day-to-day coaching and business that you have that's so successful. And, Yeah, I just think that when we take adversity and we actually learn from those things, we're so much better off, and we can use that later on in life.
Without question. Well, it molds your character, right? I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. No, it totally does.
Yeah.
So at what point did you decide that the financial stuff wasn't something you were really interested in anymore and you wanted to start working with, you know, some of these top performers in sports and athletes around the world, guys like, say, Carson Wentz?
So I'll tell you what, it wasn't that I lost interest. What ended up happening was it was around 2010. And once again, I don't say this to impress you. I say it to impress upon the point. The Fortune 100 financial firm that I had worked for, I was in the top 2%. So I was a very high producer making a great living. And, you know, I'm running these two businesses and I was spending about 50% of my time. I had a team that was helping me on the speaking, coaching and writing side, a team that was helping me on the financial services side. And finally, somebody asked me, they're like, man, do you think you'll ever leave financial services? No, I'll never leave. I'll always be like 50-50. I love this business. And then one day I said, why am I trying to control something that's completely out of my control? And I woke up every day and I said, God, I surrender to you and whatever plan you have for me. And a couple of years later, almost 100% of my time was speaking, writing and coaching. And I said, it's time to move on. So I still have a passion for that business. I still coach some of the top performers in the world in financial services. I've spoken and continue to speak for some of the top companies, work with leaders and owners of financial firms. So I love the industry, but it was time for me to pivot. And, you know, I think for so many of us, you know, we think that where we are right now, that's like the final chapters of your story. And it's like where you are right. When I was brokering paper, I had to give my best when I was brokering paper in order to understand what it means to give my best today. It's all part of our story. So even if you might not be where you think you're supposed to be, or you might be excelling at a high level right now, keep your mind open and have a level of awareness to the opportunities that are in front of you, because your life might shift and you may end up doing what you truly love.
Yeah. I want to dive into the performance coaching in a moment, but real quick, I want to just ask you a question on the financial stuff. What is your best financial advice for younger guys coming up, guys who are trying to make money to be comfortable, to be well off, to actually, you know, not have to worry about working all the time, doing the 9-to-5 grind? What do you recommend in terms of finance for them?
Yeah, well, the first thing I would say is, you know, the ability to have capital gives you choices. And I hope you guys realize, for me, I'm not one of those guys where, you know, it's all about money. I mean, I fight to continue to write my mother's story and her legacy every single day. And, you know, the blessing I've had for me is that by not focusing on money, you know, there have been a lot of blessings that have come my way in terms of, you know, things that are financially related. And what I always did was have disciplines to save money. And if you don't focus on results, if you don't focus on money, right, if somebody's listening right now and you're in sales, are you constantly staring at your target? Are you constantly staring at your quota? Are you constantly staring at how much money you think you're going to make this month? Or do you allow what you sold yesterday to dictate how you show up today? We all fall into these mental traps. And that's one of the things I love about you, is the consistency in your show and in your messaging of talking about mindset. It's a one day at a time mentality. So no matter where you are in your career, if you're just starting to save money, it's the disciplines to save money. Consistently save money, you will grow money. Consistently put in the work to hammer the telephone over and over and over and over again, especially on the days that you don't want to do it, and you're going to sell a lot of shit and you're going to make a lot of money. And when you do that, save that money, right? And too many people, they make a little money. I want to go buy this fancy car. They do this. I want to get this watch. Guys, have a vision. Have belief in yourself. Nothing wrong with spending money, but make sure that you have planned for that opportunity that's going to come your way.
I love it, man. And so many people, like you said, just don't save that money. They don't budget correctly, and they think they have more money than they do, or they don't save that money wisely, where they're putting it, like, say, $100 away or a couple hundred dollars every single week. Like you said, it's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to make, you know, $10,000, $20,000, or put $10,000, $20,000 in your bank account overnight. That takes time. But if you're not doing those steps every single day, you're never going to get to there.
So, Justin, I'll tell you. So I'm a big believer in thinking big. And thinking big, even if the chips are stacked against you or the number seems so big, you're like, how in the world am I going to get there? And I remember when I started doing planning when I was in my mid-20s, my early 20s, I had a big number and I said, here's what I want my net worth to be when I was 30 years old. And literally when I set that goal, I didn't have a net worth. I mean, it was like negative, right? I mean, I'm fresh out of college and like there was no net worth. I didn't have anything. And I started saving $100 a month, and I actually did it inside of a life insurance policy. And then, you know, you start acquiring other assets. And that's that was the first place where I consistently saved, and I've done it ever since I was 23. It was $100 a month. And that one account taught me discipline. And then it's another account. And then you put money in another account. And the next thing you know, because of hard work, discipline, saving money, I was able to hit that goal by 30. And it was something that when I was 23, I mean, people would have laughed and been like, come on, dude, that isn't going to happen. But all I worried about was working hard every single day, saving money, doing the things that I could control. And oftentimes we lose sight or we get attracted to the wrong things. Rather than keep your head down, work one day at a time and create disciplines to save and disciplines to plan.
Yeah, and I can see a lot of this information translating right over into the performance coaching. These things that some of these world-class athletes need to do every single day to ensure their success when they go to perform, when they go to the gridiron to play every Sunday, or you know, when they're playing basketball or whatever sport it really is. I mean, across the board, these types of things, these actions of doing these same habitual things every single day that lead to success, they add up over time into tremendous success. At what point did world-class athletes start seeing what you were doing in the financial space or on stage when you were giving these presentations, then start knocking on your door and saying, Ben, we need some of your help. Come work with us.
See, so Justin, I'll tell you what, I am loving your questions because your questions are going to help everybody realize that you don't start with the world-class athletes, right? So I should say your questions maybe for some. That's not the way that it happened for me. So, you know, I first got hired to speak in 2006, first started coaching in 2008, first book in 2009. My first speaking engagement in the world of sports was with my old high school basketball team in 2011, my brother. Wow. My high school basketball team and my old coach. So I was a division. Could have played Division III. I actually took a recruiting trip to Tufts University. So there's another Boston connection for you.
Nice.
The Tufts University Elephants up on the hill there, and I realized that, you know, I would have rode the bench Division III, and I'm like, all right, I'll go to Michigan State and I'll watch them win a national championship. And so, you know, I was a guy who loved the game of hoops. I was a captain of my team, but I was slow. I couldn't jump, but I could shoot the hell out of the ball. But I had a big heart. And so my coach remembered that heart, and my old high school, so I graduated in 97, so this is now 2011, and my coach is like, man, will you come fire these guys up? They're underperforming. I see you're doing this speaking work. I'm like, anything for you, coach. I love you, man. And so I show up. I fire these kids up. They knock off the number 10 team in the city of St. Louis, and I was hooked. And from that day forward, I started doing work in sports and then some doors because I started believing that I could work with athletes and these principles apply. And then I got introduced to the first NFL player, a guy by the name of Will Compton, who's getting ready to enter his seventh year. He was an undrafted free agent out of Nebraska. So in 2013, I'm using my coaching principles from the book I just gave you guys for free with him, first ever athlete. And he and I joked today, I'm like, bro, I'm like, I didn't know if it was going to work or not. and thank goodness it did work. And, you know, so a lot of these things, it doesn't start by working with the Super Bowl champion. It started with my high school. And that's where I say, Justin, you know, people want to. I've worked with guys on the last three Super Bowl teams, you know, so everybody wants to have the opportunity to do that. I've already started my second year of work with the Alabama football program. Well, sure, everybody would want to work with the Alabama football program, but it started with me working at my high school and believing that I could sharpen the saw and pour into athletes and show them my heart and my fire and my passion and inspire them with my high school basketball team. So I think so oftentimes in this world we live in today, people want to skip the work. And I just want to share with everybody, don't skip the work. I don't skip the work today. To this day, I work harder today than I ever have in my life. It may not look like it because I love what I do. I'm very strategic. But the things that I do, gosh, I'm giving it my all still because I feel like I'm just scratching the surface.
Hey, have you checked out our Elite Man YouTube channel yet? If not, get on it right now. Go to EliteManMagazine.com/YouTube and start watching our fantastic videos. We cover everything from dating, health, business, fitness, confidence, mindset, social skills, everything that you need to know to be a 21st century elite man, we've got you covered. We have a new video coming out every Monday and Friday, and I'm telling you, this is the number one place to get your elite man fix and the number one place to grow as a man. These videos will absolutely change your life and entertain you at the same time. I'm telling you, check these videos out right now. I have so much fun putting them together, and I know you're going to absolutely love them. EliteManMagazine.com/YouTube. Make sure you check it out right now and subscribe to our channel to get more of these fantastic videos and get notified the instant we release a new video. EliteManMagazine.com/YouTube. Did you have the idea or the vision or something in the back of your mind, though, that like one day you wanted to make it to that big stage and coach some of these world-class athletes and, you know, some of the best football players in the world? Did you have that even when you were at your old high school just coaching then, or was it basically just, you know, going with the flow and seeing what would happen?
Yeah, I mean, I had no idea. I mean, I was in sales, you know, until I got that first invitation to speak, and then was still in sales. And shoot, I'm still in sales today, right? You're selling yourself. But, you know, the whole thing for me, I had no idea I was going to work in sports. I love sports, but I always had belief in myself. And I think a lot of that belief came from just having great mentors and great coaches who believed in me. And there have been so many times where I didn't want to put one foot in front of the other. And I would shift to that perspective of my mom who did it. Or I would shift to the perspective of, you know, my friends who have been in the military and served this country who had done it. And you say to yourself, like, how the hell can I not put one foot in front of the other right now when there's men and women tucked in nooks and crannies in this country fighting for us to have an opportunity? And I can't, you know, make one more phone call. I can't get one more rep in on the bench press. And so a lot of it is belief. And then that belief and your connection to what I call the burn, which is really that fire that lights your purpose on fire every day, causes you to go take action. And you guys are going to keep hearing me say this. You have to have ability to put in the action. You got to hammer the disciplines. You got to do the work. You don't just wake up and become a Super Bowl champion.
So what are some of the biggest teachings in just ways of coaching that you instill into some of these world-class athletes? What are some of the biggest things when they come to you that you tell them to do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so I have one of the six mental training tools is called Your Prize Fighter Day. And so if you guys download the playbook, Justin can send out that free playbook.net link. So a prize fighter day is comprised of the daily decisions and choices you can make that will cause you to win the day, to win one day at a time. I've been talking about win the day one day at a time for probably 10 years. And a lot of people are talking about that these days. I've been talking about it for over 10 years. I built the prize fighter day 10 years ago. And so it's made up of what are the choices you want to make personally that are going to drive success professionally and in your service to others. And if we're talking about an athlete, their business is their athletics. So a lot of times I may work with an athlete and they may say, gosh, I need to put on 15 pounds. Well, you know, we can go through the drive-thru at rallies and Chick-fil-A and hammer a bunch of food and put on 15 pounds, or we can do it the right way. So typically I like to ask questions. I don't tell anybody what to do. I like to ask questions because we often know the answer. So I'll ask an athlete. They'll say, I want to put on 15 pounds. Well, how many conversations have you had with the nutritionist on staff? I've had zero. Well, why don't you go talk to the nutritionist? That's what they're paid to do, right? They're paid to teach you how to put on that 15 pounds of muscle. So recently I had that conversation with one of the quarterbacks that I work with at the D1 level. And he went and had the conversation with the nutritionist. This was about 60 days ago. And he got a recipe for a special shake that he drinks. It's an 1,800 calorie shake. It's basically a milkshake. I'm now 40 years old. I wish I could drink something like that every night before I went to bed. So basically, he's drinking a milkshake before he goes to bed. He's put on 10 pounds already. But he's put it on the right way. So we can go get the answers. You don't just stuff your face with fast food to put on the weight. We all know the things we need to do. And if you don't, go find the answers, right? Yeah. So if it comes down to studying the playbook, you know, I can say to an athlete, hey, go study your playbook for 5 hours. They're overwhelmed and they're not going to do it, right? It's like, I had weights today. I had running today. I had meetings with my coach today. I had to go to study hall. I don't have 5 hours to study my playbook. But if people learn to break things down into small, manageable, bite-sized action items, you can attack it and build disciplines to do it. So I say, okay, you won't give 5 hours, but what if you did 10 minutes a day? 10 minutes a day, 30 days in a month, last time I checked is 300 minutes. That's the same 5 hours, right? So sometimes we just have to be disciplined in breaking down our big goals into the daily disciplines so we can conquer the things that are in front of us.
Why do you think it is that so many people know what the answers are to their problems, but yet they're not able to answer their problems without seeking help from someone like you?
So earlier I talked about feelings, right? I said standard over feelings, and it's one of the core messages that I share in business and in sports. And far too often people allow their feelings to dictate how they show up, right? So we work really hard for a specified period of time, and then you actually make some really great commissions. And I call my guy Justin and say, Justin, dude, man, I've been on fire, bro. And then I stop working. I stop dialing the phone. And it's like, well, wait a second. You know, who said because you got one good paycheck that you made it? And why are you saying that you made it based upon a paycheck? And it's teaching people that you have to fall in love with the process. You have to understand the standard that's going to cause you to get consistent success over a lifetime. And the more that you say, I'm going to dominate that standard every day, I'm going to attack the process every day, that's how you have long-term success. And far too many people live to their feelings. Or, you know, I've had three really bad weeks, so because my last 3 weeks have been bad, I'm going to choose to not do the things that are going to cause me to be successful. We allow our feelings to dictate how we show up. And I'll never forget when Jerry Rice and I shared the stage, and before Jerry and I took the stage to speak, we're backstage, and Jerry looks me dead square in the eyes, and he says, man, he goes, you know what I've never understood? How could you not give 100% when it's 100% your choice? And it's one of the most simple yet profound statements I've ever heard. How could you not give 100% when it's 100% your choice? And, you know, later during our talk, Jerry goes on to say to the audience, he goes, man, if I went for 169 yards and 2 touchdowns on Sunday, I was the first guy in the building on Monday breaking down game film to identify not how great my touchdowns were, but did I miss a block? Did I miss a key block that would have sprung Roger Craig for another touchdown? What did I do where I can improve, not focusing on the things that I'm so great at? And I think that's the difference of the high performers, is they're not seduced by success. They have this burning desire to attack and to hammer the standard and to win every single day.
Yeah, and Jerry Rice is a great example of this too, because from what I remember of him, he wasn't really the most athletic wide receiver. I believe he had like a 4.6 or something like that, which is pretty crap compared to some of the standards of today. And he wasn't the tallest guy. I think he was probably 6 feet or so. I mean, he just didn't have all the blood. Same thing with guys like Tom Brady too, which if you really think about it, I mean, Brady's a very average quarterback physically. He had actually, I think he has a record for one of the worst combine runs of all time.
Well, why don't you, with this interview, why don't you send out that picture of him at his, yeah. Why don't you put that in the notes of this on the website, and nobody will even believe it's Tom Brady.
I think I'll have to, man. He looks horrible. He looks like so out of shape.
You're being generous.
yeah. But I mean, hey, it's guys like this, Jerry Rice's of the world, the Tom Brady's of the world, that just work day in and day out. They outwork everybody else. They study the playbook. They know the ins and outs of everything possible. And these are the most successful guys in the world. I mean, Jerry Rice, the best wide receiver of all time, hands down. No, there's not even a competition for number one beside him. Tom Brady, pretty much the best quarterback of all time. And the more he plays, there's less and less of a conversation that he's number one. But it's not the most gifted guys in the world. It's the guys who put in that work that you're talking about day in and day out and actually go through the actions that it takes to be successful.
So, Justin, I've been to countless training camps. My training camp visits are coming up here. There'll be two NFL teams. I'll be out at camp with the Los Angeles Rams, the Los Angeles Chargers here at the beginning of August. Then I hit Alabama, Kansas State. And so college level is different. But in the pros, I promise you, I'm going to see athletes who got drafted who are not going to make the 53. And typically, because there's just little details that I pay attention to, and it's the guy who gets drafted in the fourth round, the fifth round, the sixth, I made it. You haven't made it until you've learned to dominate one day at a time. Because let me tell you something, Will Compton, if you guys remember, I said he was an undrafted free agent. He went to the Washington Redskins 7 out of 7 on the depth chart. They gave him a camp jersey number 46, which was Alfred Morris's jersey. That was basically an invitation. You're going to make a lot of cups of coffee. You're going to carry a lot of pads, and we're going to send you home after we use your body for 3 weeks. And he went in there with a chip on his shoulder, and he said, I'm going to take people's jobs. And one of the things Will would tell you, and he's given me permission to share the story, I mentioned the prize fighter day. He and I, before he reported to that first camp, we met each other over Twitter through a mutual friend. And he and I sat down, and I taught him the prize fighter day. And I said, bro, I said, what made you a captain at Nebraska? And he said, I watch more film than anybody else. I was on point with my nutrition. I was another coach in the film room. And we identified all the things that made him great. And then I asked him, why can't you do these things now? And he said, I can. And he had the conscious choice to go do the same things he did at Nebraska at Washington, and he ended up playing 5 years in Washington. He went from being undrafted to not only a starter, but the captain of the defense that led the team to the playoffs for the first time in 10 years. So it comes down to the daily disciplines, but it's not always the guy who gets drafted the highest. It's the individual who's got more hunger, more fight, more passion in their heart, and they don't worry about a depth chart. They say, I'm going to absolutely attack every single day, and any obstacle that gets in my way, I promise you, you will see somebody fight through it like you never have, because nobody fights like me. And it's a choice to live that way, but you typically find these underdogs. I mean, shoot, Jerry Rice went to Mississippi Valley State. That's not Alabama.
No.
Right? So, I mean, you got to remember, these guys have this internal hunger, and everybody listening, I know some people are probably like, this guy is crazy. I'm not crazy. I've just been around some of the highest performers to ever walk the face of the earth, and they've helped me realize that you have it inside of you too. And what you have to realize is it's in there, but you got to choose to stay connected to your purpose, have a big-ass vision that scares the hell out of you, that causes you to go do something about it every day, and recognize that your greatness, it's not going to happen overnight. It might just take time, but I'll tell you, it's going to be worth it.
I mean, just thinking, too, of Brady's best friend now, which is Julian Edelman. I think he was like a 6th or 7th round pick to himself, and he was another guy who like wasn't given a chance to make it on the roster, and they basically were going to cut him. He was like a backup quarterback or something, and or Kent State. I mean, he was just some crappy quarterback. And next thing you know, he becomes best friends with Brady, and then next thing you know, 2-3 years later, he's one of the best wide receivers in the game. But people listening, how can they apply some of this to their day-to-day lives? When we're talking about world-class athletes here, we're talking about performing on the gridiron or on the basketball court. How do people listening perform in their regular lives? They have that 9-to-5 job, or they're, you know, they have kids. They're just trying to grind away and be successful, take it to the next level where they can actually be comfortable and happy with their lives, but also successful. What can they do on a day-to-day basis to take some of these teachings that you implement every single day into their own lives?
Yeah, so what I would encourage everybody to do, right, so we can take all my passion and my fire here on a Friday afternoon. If you guys follow me, you guys know I always say champions create distance on Fridays, right? So number one is your mindset. You know, stop telling yourself that it's hump day. Stop telling yourself, oh, thank God it's Friday. Man, I can't stand stuff like that. Champions create distance on Friday. Every day is an opportunity to win. So give this a try over the next 7 days. Just shift your mind and say, it doesn't matter what happened yesterday. It doesn't matter what I think is going to happen tomorrow. I'm going to win the day one day at a time. So believe you can win one day at a time. And number two, define what that looks like, and let's test it for 7 days. So write down one thing personally. If you've been making excuses and you haven't been eating right, let's decide how you're going to eat over the next 7 days and do it one day at a time. Or stop making excuses for not getting your workout in. If you just need to break a sweat, if you haven't worked out in 6 months, you know, maybe it's just doing cardio for 20 minutes a day for the next week to build the discipline and the habits that I can start doing it again. And then take a look at your work. And I want you to identify, what's the period of time where I felt best about my work? Even if you're not in the job that you absolutely love, or you don't think it's your long-term job, why not give your best where you are to build the disciplines that are going to cause you to be even better when you get to your next opportunity? So identify what it means for you to be your best in your current career and go hammer it one day at a time. So if the highest performers or when you've performed at your highest level in sales, you're doing, I call them points of contact, POCs, text message, email, phone call, you know, letting the world know. I work with so many individuals in sales. Let the world know you're open for business. If your best days are 40 POCs a day, then do your 40 POCs a day and honor it. No excuses for the next 7 days. And then service. Go do something for somebody else every day. You know, John Wooden, arguably the greatest coach to ever coach anything, dude wrote more best-selling books in his 90s than 90% of best-selling authors, one of the greatest thought leaders to ever walk the face of the earth. John Wooden used to say, you can't have a great day until you've done something for somebody else with no expectation of anything in return. So imagine if you give a little bit of yourself, you make the world a better place. You choose the discipline that's going to cause you to be successful. No excuses, you do it. And go do something for yourself. And if you guys recognize everything I just shared is 100% your choice, and if you believe what Jerry Rice said, how could you not give 100% when it's 100% your choice? Please do me a favor and then hit me up on social media. Send me a DM. Tweet at me. It's at Continued Fight. However you want to get in touch with me and tell me that the 7-day test worked. And if it worked, do it for another 7 days and then another 7. If you need to tweak it a little bit, tweak it till you get it right.
Love it, man. There's so much great information in there. I do have a question, though. For sure. People who you say to give first and to want to help other people first, for people I've noticed, though, people who are trying to grind away themselves, they can find it really tough to give first and to, you know, offer first before accepting or trying to take first. What do you recommend to these types of people who have that mindset where they're coming from a place where they're just trying to be successful first on their own? How do they switch from the mentality to want to be the person who gives first when they're not really receiving all the shit that they want to get?
So here's what I'll tell you. 90% of people, when I give that example, they think that I'm talking about donating money or giving money or resources. I'm talking about just being a good person. You know, this world needs more people to love on people. The world is moving so fast. Man, you and I could walk into a mall somewhere. We could walk into a restaurant, and there's a dad pushing a baby stroller in, and somebody right in front of him is staring at their cell phone and letting the door slam right on the dad trying to get through the door with his baby stroller.
Yeah.
Right. So it's just little things, right? So I'm not saying that it's, hey, go give $100 to a charity every day or $1,000 or $50 or $10. I'm talking about just be a good person, you know, smile at people. I mean, shoot, half the people that walk around, they don't even smile anymore. It's like, come on, like, let's smile. Yeah. Let's laugh. Let's just be good people and love on people. Or, you know, you're driving down the street and you know that your friend's dad has been sick or your friend's mother's been sick. And we're so busy in our own minds, I'll text them later, and then you forget. Like, send the text message. It might make their month. Hey, I was thinking about you, sending some prayers your way. I know your mom's going to be strong. She's going to persevere. Like, rather than telling yourself you're too busy to do that, take the 10 seconds and actually send that message.
No, that makes a ton of sense. And you're right. It's so easy to do some of these basic things that I feel like 20 years ago, most people used to do just every single day. But the more technology is taking over our lives, the more we're living on Instagram and Facebook and Snapchat, the less we actually live in the real world and less time we think we have to do these basic, simple, decent things as a human being. What do you recommend for people to stay more on track? Because I just mentioned the fact that we are living in this crazy digital age and there's so much just noise and nonsense out there to distract us. How do you work with your clients and how can people listening be more on task and stay more focused to what it is to do the things that they need to do?
Well, I think we all have to set parameters and you got to pay attention to your time, right? So, I mean, the easy thing is to say, man, I just don't have time to do this. I don't have time to do that. And then, you know, I just ask simple questions. How many hours a day do you watch Netflix? And they, oh, 3 hours a day. Okay. I mean, if you're watching Netflix 3 hours a day, let's go down to 2.5. We're still going to get you a lot of Netflix time, but people don't realize that extra 30 minutes might be your 30 minutes to get back into the discipline of working out.
Yeah.
And remember, it's doing the math. People don't realize the next level of your success, it's a math equation. It's hammering the disciplines more often. So 30 minutes a day, you could tell me, come on, dude, 30 minutes, that's not going to do much. Okay, let's do the math. 30 minutes a day times 5 days a week is 2.5 hours times 4 weeks in a month is 10 hours. So for the individual who told me they couldn't work out, give me 30 minutes a day. You could work 10 out. You could work out 10 hours in a month rather than the zero you've done in the last 6 months. How are you going to feel about yourself? you're going to feel way more confident. You're going to look better. You're going to have that juice pumping through your veins. You're going to have that blood pumping. Your endorphins are going to be kicking, and you're going to want to dial the phone more. Those workouts are going to cause you to show up differently in your life. Once again, it's much easier to live to our feelings. It's harder to build those disciplines that you hammer every single day to become a better individual.
Ben, how do you structure your days so that you stay on task each and every day? Do you come up with a system? Is there specific things that you do when you wake up in the morning? Is there a certain routine that you have to make sure you're staying on task and just getting as much done?
Yeah, so I have lived by, you know, myself by a prize fighter day for over 10 years. Right? This win the day mentality, I've been doing it myself for over 10 years, and it starts with a morning routine. And I wake up crazy, crazy early in the morning. You've got all these individuals talking about how early they wake up. Nobody wakes up earlier than I do. I wake up at 2:44 every single day. Wow. And it used to be 3:14, and I did it for about 6 or 7 years. And the last couple months after reading David Goggins' book, Can't Hurt Me, I mean, I've got two coaches, and I'm already on my 14th book this year. So I have yet to figure it all out. I'm constantly trying to get better. And the reason why I started waking up at 2:44 is because I needed to start reading more books just to continue to become even sharper. So the extra 30 minutes I dedicate towards reading. So my morning routine has always been important because I travel so much to speak that when I hear the pitter-patter of my kids' feet in my house around 6 or 6:30, I want my routine to be done. So I wake up that early so that when I'm home, I can get them ready, take them to school, do all those things. But my morning routine allows me to read. It allows me to put my head in another book that means the world to me. It allows me to get my workout in, to do my social media, not somebody else doing my social media. That's me every day putting out what's on my mind. It allows me to connect to my clients, to give them a push, to give them a boost, and then to look at my schedule, to look at my day, and to send our team correspondence for what's going to make us efficient that day. It takes me about 3 hours to get through that routine, three and a half hours, but those hours – so my friend Drew Hanlon, one of the top NBA skills trainers in the world, he calls it the unseen hours. What I accomplish in the unseen hours, there is no doubt about it, sets me up to have a prize fighter day every day.
Ben, what does guys like Carson Wentz ask you when you work with them one-on-one? What are some of the questions that they want you to answer for them? And what are some of the things that they're seeking your advice for? We're talking about some of the best world-class athletes in the world. Guys like this who are literally, like, I think Carson Wentz is probably top 10, definitely top 10 quarterback, maybe even top 5 quarterback in the NFL. What are these guys taking away from you and the things that you teach when it comes to performance?
Well, you'd want a different example than Carson, because I probably learned more from Carson than he's ever learned from me, and we've worked together a long time. I started working with Carson when he was a senior in college at North Dakota State, and I'll tell you, everything I've shared on this call is just the way that Carson lives his life. I mean, I just try to share perspective, maybe some things for motivation. You know, obviously, we all know he's had some injuries, and just try to keep him positive, keep him focused, but just an extraordinary human being who believes deeply in his faith and believes in hard work and believes in being a great teammate. So that's an easy one for him. But, you know, a lot of individuals, it's just building a relationship where they know, like, we can be real with each other. Like, they can call me and say, man, I'm struggling with this. This happened with my girlfriend. This happened with my wife. Like, and it's just helping people get through the stresses of everyday life. People think that professional athletes, like, live on Mars or something. They're human beings, right? Or the individuals that I work with in business that might be running $100 million, $200 million. Some companies I work with will sell for $1 billion here soon. So the individuals who run these companies, that they're not average, they're human beings. And for our work, we focus on helping these individuals stay connected to their purpose every day, hammer the process, and when you get knocked down, I call it reframing. It's our ability to focus on solutions rather than problems. And most of the time, whether it's somebody performing at a high level in sports or in business, we're talking about, how do I navigate through adversity? How do I limit my self-talk? And how do I stay connected to hammering these daily disciplines?
So many people think that when you get to a certain level of success that all your problems go away, or that you just live in some kind of fairy tale world and everything's great. But, like, you know, so many people say, and like you sort of reiterated, a lot of times when you get to a certain level of success, problems start to add up because you have, like, all these different things going on. Like, you have more money, you have more expenses, you have more bills to pay, you have more things to worry about, people relying on you. you know, family supporting, having to rely on your support. It's just like people don't think of all these different things that go into successful people. And also, I think we put them on such a pedestal that we forget that they really are just human beings. So they're facing all the stuff that we face on a day-to-day basis. Plus, in a lot of cases, that's amplified by 10 times because they have a lot more other stuff to worry about that we don't even realize.
I tell you what, I've never thought of it this way. Once again, you're asking some great questions. You know, go chase your max capacity. You know, people are thinking that, like, gosh, if I do this, I'm going to be so busy. You know what? A lot of the busy, like, to me, it's not busy. I do what I love every day, right? So if people saw the number of teams and businesses and people that I never look at it as being busy, I'm challenging my capacity. So I'll challenge myself physically. I'll challenge myself on my nutrition. I challenge myself with my clients to bring my A game to them in every interaction, whether I'm on a sideline in a boardroom or on a phone call. And I think for all of us every day, don't be scared by the fact that you might have to put in a lot of hard work to get there. Just trust that you got a lot of capacity inside of you, but you got to choose to take it and do something with it every day.
Love it. Ben, it's been an awesome interview, man. What is a last send-off takeaway message you'd like to leave the Elite Man audience, and then a place our listeners can check out that book that you mentioned?
So we went through a lot. Number one, take the free gift, please. Freeplaybook.net. Number two, that 7-day challenge. Stay connected to your purpose, right? That fuel that drives you, and test out those daily disciplines. And then I'll leave you with the greatest piece of advice I've ever been given. It came from my mom. It's not how long you live. It's how you choose to live your life. Choose to attack every single day. Get up one more time than you've been knocked down, and that's how winning is done. I appreciate you, Justin. I appreciate the invitation to be with your listeners, and look forward to staying connected.
Thanks, Ben. It's been an awesome interview, man, as I mentioned, and I know our guys are going to love this one. So thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate you, and take care, and I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate you. Thanks, Justin.
If you haven't joined our Elite Man newsletter yet, you are missing out. Get on it right now. Go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter and sign up to get special Elite Man content not seen nor heard anywhere else. Get all of our bonus podcast information, sneak peeks, and upcoming shows, behind-the-scenes content, special offers, and exclusive Elite Man updates you won't find anywhere else. I'm telling you, if you're not on our newsletter, you are missing out. Go to elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter and become a true member of the Elite Man community. I look forward to speaking to you soon. elitemanmagazine.com/newsletter. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, there's one last thing I'd like you to do, and that's this. Subscribe to our podcast right now if you haven't already. By subscribing to the podcast, you get every single episode the minute they're released. Get all of our Elite Man podcast episodes and all of our world-class advice absolutely free. Subscribe now if you haven't already and become an Elite Man today. And yes, if you do love the podcast, leave us an amazing review. We really do appreciate it.
You love podcasts, the stories, the laughs, the unexpected turns. But when this episode ends, the silence starts. Not anymore. Audiobooks.com turns that silence into your next great adventure. With over 450,000 titles, from bestsellers to hidden gems, your love for listening just found its new best friend. And because you already know the joy of audio, we're giving you 3 free audiobooks to start your journey. Imagine your favorite podcast, now with unlimited episodes. That's audiobooks.com. Keep the story going. Sign up for your free trial at audiobooks.com/podcast-free today. Because for podcast lovers like you, the end of an episode is just the beginning. That's audiobooks.com/podcast-free.
If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 U.S.-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out Pear.com today to learn more. That's Pear.com.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at caskers.com.